In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Not too long ago, I heard an interview on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, where she interviewed physician B.J. Miller. When Miller was a college sophomore, he was out late one night with some friends, and as a lark, they climbed onto a parked commuter train. In a freak accident, he was electrocuted and nearly died. He eventually lost both legs below the knee and half of one arm. The experience led him to pursue a career in end-of-life care and palliative medicine. In the interview I heard, he discussed that the book that he had co-authored recently with Shoshana Berger, titled A Beginner's Guide to the End, Practical Advice for Living Life and Facing Death. One of the things that they recommend in the book as a way to not leave a mess behind for your family to have to clean up is to create a death file with all of your relevant documents and instructions. And he told the story about how when they were writing the book, they would catch each other calling it the if I die file, when in fact, it's a when I die file, because whether or not we will die is not in question. Death is inevitable. And that is what Ash Wednesday asks us to unflinchingly look at every year. With the smearing of ash on our foreheads and the admonition that we are dust and to dust we shall return, we are reminded that we all die. The Latin expression memento mori, translated as remember your death, symbolizes the church's practice of remembering our death as a way of leading us to live lives worthy of the calling as followers of Christ. Memento mori is not an ending, however. It is a beginning. Memento mori focuses us as we enter the holy season of Lent, remembering that Lent is a 40-day journey from death to resurrection, bookended by Ash Wednesday on one side and Easter Day on the other. One holds the deep truth that we all die, and the other holds the deep truth that death does not have the final word. So we begin here, with ashes and with remembering our death, entering a season of renewal through self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. All of those practices are about reconciliation. That is literally reconciling how we live our lives with how we say we want to live our lives as followers of Christ. And so we take this time for self-examination and to recenter God in our lives. We repent to God, to each other, and to ourselves for the ways in which we have fallen short. We take our prayer life seriously. We fast from things that draw us away from God and from community. And we make time to read and reflect on Holy Scripture. It sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, even for 40 days. And frankly, sometimes our lives are already so full of inner conflict and anxiety and stress and despair that just existing already feels penitential. So start with one thing. One thing that perhaps catches your heart. And just go from there. Pick up a Lenten touchstone. Use it as a reminder to pray every day even if it's just to say one word. Grab a Lenten devotional from the resource table and spend 10 minutes a day in reflection and contemplation. Take a fast from something or someone that drains your energy. Pick one thing that helps you make your life look more like what you want it to. It doesn't have to be perfect. You do not have to be perfect. You just have to mean it. You just have to follow Jesus as best you can, one step every day. That's what Lent is for, after all. The church, in her wisdom, knew that we needed a season set aside every year to course correct, to press the reset button, to try again. And so Lent is a gift, not a punishment. So remember your death, yes, but remember too the abundance of life that God promises to those who trust in him. And remember that he promised he will be with us every step of the way. Amen.